Let's do it.
Out to the right. 5 seconds to go in the first half. Dante fires deep to the left. Moss caught it at the 11, but now he pitches
look at
it.
This.
Demole Williams! Touchdown!
You gotta be kidding me!
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we are back with another special edition of the Climbing the Pocket podcast. I'm your host, Jason Brown, and we are rolling through these top fives, getting you ready for the NFL draft. And it's, I feel like maybe we should have had Saxy Prince on this episode. But, you know, as always, as we've been doing thus far for these first five episodes, it is myself and the man, the myth, the legend, JR. What's going on, my man?
What were we thinking not having Yinka on this episode, man? Like, he's like the running back connoisseur.
I don't know. He'll probably won't ever forgive us for this. But, you know, we're going to try to make it through, and we're trying to make Yinka proud on this one here. And, yeah, we're talking about the running backs. But before we get in there and start really talking about these running backs and giving all of y'all all the juicy details and tidbits that you need, I need to remind you that JR's draft guide is on sale at climbingthepocket.com. For my money, it is the best value that you can find during the draft season. JR gets you all the insight that you need, not just going into, you know, the athletic numbers that you can go and look up for yourself anywhere, but really letting you know, giving you a window into how these players play, giving you those comps to, you know, play style for the NFL, letting you know what system these guys will fit the best in. So make sure you go over there, you're picking it up. And if you are a Dynasty League player or a Devy player, you need to be picking this up, and you need to be following JR in general, because he'll be giving you all those tidbits that you need to help you dominate your league. But with all that out of the way, let's get to it, man. Let's talk about these running backs. Who you got at number five, dude?
So, man, in the number five spot, I got Nick Chubb, the running back from Georgia. Everyone knows about his knee situation, how he suffered that gruesome knee injury back in 2015. He got a little bit better in 2016, but he still didn't look like that pre-injury guy that we were accustomed to seeing and that five-star prospect that everyone was so excited about coming into that season or when he stepped foot on Athens in Georgia. But fast forward to 2017, he really started to look like that guy that we saw before that knee injury, and a lot of people were really excited about Nick Chubb. What I love about Nick Chubb is that he's a guy that has great contact balance. He's not going to make guys consistently miss in space or quick in the phone booth in tight spaces, but he's going to get the yardage that's there for him. He can run out of the shotgun. He can run out of the I formation. Now, a lot of questions are out there about just how productive he can be on third down or as a pass catcher, but I think he's able to do it. He just wasn't used in that role at Georgia, so it kind of paints a fake picture about him that he can't do it, but he just wasn't asked to do it at Georgia. And he's a guy, compared to D'Angelo Williams, I think they're very similar players. And let's not think about the Pittsburgh Steelers or the back half of his career, D'Angelo Williams. I think he's more of the Carolina Panthers type of D'Angelo Williams who can come in. You know exactly what you're getting with Nick Chubb, and I think he's a very safe pick as a running back because he's a guy I think that's very pro-ready. Doesn't have extremely high ceiling, but I think he's going to be a rock solid pro because you know exactly what you're going to get with him.
Okay, and you know, let's not hate on the late career D'Angelo Williams. He probably won quite a few people their fantasy leagues when Le'Veon went down that one time. So, you know, both D'Angelos are a good comp for him, and if he can have a career like that, that will not be too bad at all. So let's move it along to your number four here. Who you got for us, man?
My man, Rojo, Ronald Jones. From USC, has had a really funky pre-draft process. He's battled a hamstring injury at this point. He had his own pro day, I believe it was last week, where Sam Darnold was throwing him the ball around a little bit. A lot of people wanted to see exactly what he was going to run in the 40 as well, because he ran that 4.6 at the combine, but he did pull up fast with the hamstring injury, and that's where he suffered that injury, which was at the combine. But he went out. He ran high 4.4s at his pro day, which is what a lot of people wanted to see. His nickname is the Texas Tussler. He's actually from McKinney, Texas, a very sleek look. And the one thing that stands out about him is how smooth his running style is. Everything he does is smooth. He's your perfect zone scheme type of running back. A lot of people have compared him to Jamaal Charles, He's the outside zone king. That's what I like to call him. USC just shoved it, shoved the ball down their throat. Defense, down defense's throat with the outside zone plays with him because he was so successful at doing it. And just go back and watch his tape against Stanford and Colorado. He completely dominated those games with outside zone. Now, there is a lot of questions out there about him as a pass catcher. A guy that's that small, only 5'6", 205 pounds, probably will never weigh more than that. I think his body probably can't put on much more weight than that because he's not a guy that has a very stout frame. More of your skinny top and upper half, or top and lower halves, excuse me. So he's not able to put on or compact some more weight on his frame. So he's probably maxed out at 205 pounds. I don't think he'll ever weigh much more than that. So he's a guy that's going to have to be a change of pace back, most likely a number two back in the committee. And if he's not able to catch the ball consistently out of the backfield, I have some questions about exactly what his upside will be, because we all know those types of change of pace backs, like a Jamal Charles, they were able to win in the passing game as well. He's not going to be able to just be a runner because his value, I think, could come more as a pass catcher. But there's questions out there about exactly if he can do it. He wasn't used a lot in that role, but at his pro day, he really didn't look that comfortable catching the ball either. He's not a natural hands catcher. And a lot of people were really saying now it makes sense why USC didn't use him more as a pass catcher out of the backfield, because he's just not comfortable doing it.
Okay, and yeah, that was going to be my question for you, is that I guess on the limited opportunities that you did see from him, did he look comfortable catching the ball? But if you're saying that you're struggling even at the kind of the scripted pro day, I mean, I guess that's going to be strange. It's going to be a fun one to watch, I guess, the transition there with someone who was that productive, who kind of slots in as a third down change of pace guy, and to see if he'll be able to develop that skill set as he gets to the NFL. But just moving along here, number three. Who you got here for us in the running back class? That is a very deep class. Who you got as your number three guy?
Yeah, so we've already talked about Nick Chubb. Now let's talk about the other guy in that backfield committee, Sonny Michel. A guy I love. I'm a big Sonny Michel fan. Very stocky, very thick build. He was the number two running back in their committee behind Nick Chubb, as I said. Even though he had a limited role, he still stood out amongst the other guys he was in that backfield committee with. Like I said, he was with Chubb, and they also had a freshman named DeAndre Swift that probably was the third running back in that committee. Sonny Michel, he's your complete package. He can catch the ball out of the backfield. He can run between the tackles. He can maximize plays on the perimeter. And I think he was the best back in that bunch. I think he has a very high ceiling. And I don't think he was used all the way correctly. I think he could have got a bit more touches than what he did, but he still set the record books on fire despite him being in that limited role. Now you talk about him being a lead dog in a backfield, I think he's going to shine.
All right. And, you know, I mean, I like Sonny Michel a lot. I am just a little surprised that you had, you know, that I guess that you flipped the order that I guess I had in my mind there for those Georgia running backs. But, we'll move it along here. We're not going to get derailed with that. Maybe we'll save that for a pod topic or a pod discussion on the regular Climbing the Pocket podcast. But we move it along here to number two. And I think he's, you know, most people's consensus number two. But break him down for us. Who you got?
Darius Geis, running back from LSU. He's actually my number 11 overall prospect in this class. He's had a weird past couple of weeks with his stock. A lot of people were saying there's concerns about him off the field. But nobody has said an exact reason why they have those concerns off the field with him. Somebody started up a rumor saying that he plays a lot of video games, and a lot of teams were thinking that he really won't be interested in the playbook or learning the playbook front to back because of his obsession with video games. But I just think that's all smoke and mirrors of a team that's trying to make him fall to them at this point. He had a rough childhood. His father was actually murdered when he was 6 years old. He's from Baton Rouge, Louisiana. And just him remembering exactly how tough life was growing up, that's the reason for his violent running style. And if you ever see him run the ball, he reminds me a lot of Marshawn Lynch with a mixture of Frank Gore. Now, he doesn't have a lot of production as far as a pass catcher out of the backfield, but we all know LSU, that's really not their forte. Or what they go to with their running backs. They're more of your ground and pound approach between the tackles. So Geist really didn't get an opportunity to catch the ball out of the backfield. But when they actually did throw it to him, it was either a first down or a touchdown. So that's one thing that I loved about seeing from him, was that even though he had limited touches, when he did or was able to get those touches, he was able to maximize those touches when he did get it. Only 20 years old, he turns 21 on June 21st. So he'll be a 21-year-old rookie. And I think he's going to have a long life as a running back.
All right. Well, yeah, Frank Gore, that means he's going to play forever. Right. And ever and ever and ever. You know, I like that comp. And, well, you know, I mean, this is another one of those ones. You know, we're going from 5-1, so we're leaving, you know, on a high note. We're not going to, you know, ending these pods on, you know, a random player that people have never heard of or something like that. But, you know, we're going to number one here, and it almost feels a little anticlimactic because, you know, number one running back this class, feel like everyone's known who that was since maybe 3 years ago. So I guess, yeah, break it down. Who you got at number one, man?
Yeah, I mean, everybody knows it's Saquon Barkley. I don't think he's the generational prospect that a lot of people were making him out to be, but I don't want to take anything away from him. He's a heck of a player. And you talk about a guy that can affect the running game as well as the passing game. He also was a heavy contributor in their special teams as well as a return specialist. So he's a guy that's affecting multiple phases in the game. I would like to see him be a little bit better as far as getting the tough yardage. He does bounce runs outside a bit prematurely. He tries to out-athlete the competition a little bit too much for my liking. But his positive flashes obviously outweigh his negative flashes heavily. Now, he's a guy that, you know, we're not big on taking running backs or prioritizing running backs in the first round, but he's obviously going to go in the top 7 to 8 picks. But as far as his running style, I think he's a guy that can handle 20-plus carries a game or even 30 touches in a game, combining rushing attempts and passing catches as well. So I love Bucky Brooks' comparison of him being a solar system type of player and saying that you can build an offense around him. Not saying that he's going to be the centerpiece of it all, but he's a guy that you can heavily involve in an offense because he affects the game in so many ways. You have to keep him heavily involved because he's lightning in a bottle. He can break a game open at any point.
All right. You know, I think we're just going to go ahead and wrap this one up. You know, like, we've been doing these now for a little bit. And yeah, I mean, there's no need to say anything else other than if you have not already purchased the 2018 draft guide from the man JR himself, you should go and do that right now. But we are going to get up out of here. So JR, as always, thank you for coming on here, talking about these draft prospects. And yeah, I'll be getting you back to work here pretty soon.
Thanks for having me.
All right, man. You have a good one.